Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew chapter 6, and I'll start here in verse 31. 33 is my text, but we'll do 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? So stop worrying about stuff. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these natural things, Jesus said. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Talking about Gentiles, talking about the heathen, talking about people that don't have any faith in God. He says they seek these things. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God is not dumb. That's what I hear Jesus saying. Hey, guys, God's not stupid. He knows what you have need of. He knows what's going on. He knows you're coming in and you're going out, you're lying down and you're rising up. He knows everything about you. We don't have to try to inform God. I said, we don't have to try to inform God. God knows what's going on. What we need to do is come in faith and believe we receive when we ask for things. We ask for those things that already belong to us as our covenant right in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, all things are ours. Whatsoever things you desire, they're yours. So we come and we graciously ask in faith, knowing this is our covenant right, and God gives it to us as we receive it from him. He doesn't hold it back. He's not holding any good thing from you and I. So God knows everything that's going on. He's got you covered. Isn't that good news? Praise God. If we just get a hold of two things in life, we'd do great. I mean, really get a hold of it. Number one, God knows. God knows. Number two, God cares. God knows and God cares. Say it with me. Say, God knows, God cares. Amen. God knows what you have need of. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. He knows. And guess what? He cares enough to do something about it. All we have to do is believe that and rest. The receiving mode is the rest mode. Let's get into that rest mode. Let's get in that receiving mode, which is getting in that faith mode. And let's just receive what God has for us. Praise God. Say this. Say it again. God knows and God cares. Therefore, I'm not going to worry about anything. Hallelujah. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Notice that. Seek first. First. Now we've heard this before. Most in this room have heard that scripture before. Have heard those words from Jesus' lips. But you know, when Jesus says something, he really means it. He really knows what he's talking about. Now, there's a lot of folks that don't know what they're talking about, that we hear in the world and on the news, wherever. But don't confuse them with Jesus. Jesus knows what he's talking about. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's going to happen? All these things shall be added to you. The food, the clothing, all the natural things that you have need of in this life, they're going to be added to you. As you what? Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. The Amplified Bible says it this way. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. I love that for righteousness. His way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God. and all things will be given to you also. That's worth shouting about right there. All things will be given to you also. When you put these things first, when you put the kingdom first, put God's righteousness first, all these things are going to be added to you. But what a lot of folks see, we have that backwards. And we're thinking that we have to take care of all these things. We have to get all these things. We have to, you know, we have to focus on all these things. We have to aim at and strive after all these things, all these natural things in life. And in doing that, they're not being added to us. As long as we're pursuing it, it's not pursuing us. Did you hear me? As long as we're pursuing the things aren't being added to us. It's not happening. So if we want God to add all these things that we have need of to us, then we got to stop pursuing these things, and we need to pursue God. We need to pursue him and put him first place. New Living Translation says it this way: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Glory to God. Say, God's going to give me everything I need. If. Don't forget the if. If is very important. A lot of folk running around say, God's going to give me everything. God take care of everything. God's going to take care of everything. We don't have to worry about nothing. God's going to take care of everything. If. If, see, we somehow lose that. Somehow if falls off the table and gets lost. It's if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, a lot of religious people run. That's the difference between religion and reality. Just religiosity and reality. Religiosity is over here quoting all the scriptures, claiming all the promises, and ain't doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's just being religious. But reality of it is those that are standing over here claiming the promises of God, believing the word of God, and being doers of the word of God. Yes. Being doers of what Jesus said. So we don't want to just be the religious bunch that have all the proper faith lingo, but there ain't any faith. They're not walking in any faith. We want to be the folks over here walking in faith. Walking in faith, doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be added to us. Everything else that we have need of is going to be given to us. Praise God. So say this way. Say, I'm putting the kingdom first. Now, this is a good New Year's message right here. We're going into 2016. Now's a good time to make some New Year's resolutions. It's time to make some New Year resolutions and say, I'm going to put the kingdom of God first so that I can begin to have what Jesus said I can have, everything else. I'm going to put the kingdom first. Now, I did a little word study here. I got in there and I looked up this word first in the Greek. And when I looked at it and examined it, I found out that it meant first. First means first. I don't think there's much more to say about that. You understand what first means?
Yeah.
All right, praise God. I thought I'd get in there and study it out, you know. But no matter what I saw, it just kept coming up first. So, you know, you don't really need to know much more than that, do you? First does mean first. And then I looked up the word kingdom because, you know, here he's saying seek first the kingdom of God. And it's hard to seek something you don't know what it is that you're supposed to be seeking. And the word kingdom, for one, means dominion, rule. When we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the dominion of God. We're talking about the rule of God. We're talking about the authority of God. And remember, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. That was one of his primary messages. He came preaching the kingdom of God. What do you mean? He came preaching the authority and rule and dominion of God. That he had come to restore to mankind the dominion and rule of God that was to be theirs from the very beginning when God created man and said, let him have dominion over the works of my hands. He formed man, created him, and gave him dominion, absolute rule and authority. Absolute rule and authority. Jesus came to restore that which man had lost. Man had sold out to the devil and had relinquished his authority to Satan. And Satan became the ruling spirit over this world. But thank God Jesus came in the form of a man, defeated the devil, and now restores to mankind, to those that believe in him. He has restored his dominion, his rule, and his authority. And you and I are to be seeking it first. Seeking this rule, seeking this authority of God, the kingdom of God. And again, if we're going to grow in our authority, grow in this dominion, then there's a couple things that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to make it a priority, number one, in our life. Make knowing the kingdom, knowing this authority, a priority in our life. Put it first place. And of course, Jesus is the king of the kingdom. He's the king over the kingdom. But the Bible also says that those who put their trust in Jesus are kings and priests as well. And you and I are to rule in life with him. I mean, the Bible says unless a man's born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. So until a person's born again, they can't even see the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They're on the outside. The Bible actually refers to them as outsiders in various different scriptures. They're on the outside. But thank God you and I are now in a position to be able to see, perceive, know, and understand the kingdom of God because of being born again. Thank God. Now that we've received the Spirit of God, we can see these things. We can grasp these things. But we don't want to just spend our days on the outer perimeter of the kingdom of God, being happy just to be able to see it, hear about it, enjoy thinking about it, you know, get excited talking about it. We want to move in. We want to move into the center of this kingdom. We want to get right in the thick of it. How do we want to get right in the thick of it? Get right. That's what he's calling us to do. He's saying, put this first. Set your aim on this. Reach for this. This is what you and I are to be striving after. The kingdom of God. Getting deeper and deeper into it. Into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, getting deep into the authority and the rule and dominion of God, we've got to get into God. Get into him. Get into Jesus, right? Get into Jesus. But not just into Jesus. We got to get into his church. Because the church is God's kingdom in this earth. So when we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, we're talking about seeking first the church of God. Because the church of God and the kingdom of God. See, that's where the authority and rule of God is in the earth. It's in the church. It's with the church. And we see that in a lot of different scriptures. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. I think this is going to bring some clarity to what seeking the kingdom of God first means. When we look at it as the church, the kingdom of God is God's church. The church is God's ruling body in this world. That's what the church is. It's God's ruling body in this world. It's God's government in the earth. The church. Praise God. We got to put it first. Church first. Kingdom first. God's rule. God's government. God's governing body first. Notice Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 17. It says, Jesus answered and said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Remember, Peter had just said to Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus saying, man, you didn't get that from man. Nobody told you that except my Father. You received this from my Father, this revelation that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got that from the Father. Verse 18, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Notice that. He said, well, let's go on. Verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sounds like authority to me. Sounds like some dominion right there. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. That's this authority. Well, notice he says in verse 19, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Again, keys speaks of authority. Not only authority, but ownership. When you got the keys to something, you have some ownership in that something. Keys give you ownership. Now, I'm looking around this room this morning, and I don't have the keys to anybody's car that is in here this morning, because I don't own it. I have no ownership in it. But you carry the keys because it's your car. And you got carry the keys to your house. And anybody that you allow to come and live in your house, you give them those keys to be able to enter into that house. They're sharing in the ownership of that house. So he's telling Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Of course, it wasn't just for Peter. It was for everyone that receives the revelation that Peter received, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those who know him by revelation of the Spirit of God and have thus faith in him, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from God. Word of God says faith comes by hearing the word of God. But when you look it up, it's talking about the spoken word of God. Faith comes by hearing, we could say, from God. Peter heard from God. Faith came. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. You've got authority. You got access to the kingdom. You got rule, authority. You got dominion, so that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But notice the verse right before that. In verse 17, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my what? Church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Why won't hell prevail against the church? Because we got authority over hell. Because the church has dominion over hell. But notice he puts building his church and the keys to the kingdom together. I'm building the church and I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Building the church and giving you the keys to. If you build a building, you're going to need the keys to get in the building once the building's built. Isn't that right? Once they hang the doors, you need to have a key to get in. And of course, the one that's a part of the building should also have some keys to get in. So the church, we see church and kingdom together right there. Church and kingdom together. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God's church is God's kingdom in this earth. How many people think they should have a set of keys? You and I should take ownership of this house of God and should see ourselves as partners in this construction of God's building, God's kingdom. You and I should see ourselves as people with authority in God's house, in God's church, people with authority, not just spectators, not folks that are just looking in from the outside. Come on. Not folks that are just in a perpetual visiting stage, a perpetual checking it out stage. It's amazing how many people just stay in the checking it out stage. You know, just checking it out. And then a couple of services don't go the way that, you know, they think it should go, and not to their fancy, not to their liking. And then next thing you know, we'll just go somewhere else. We'll just go check out another place. No commitment. Not rooted. Not grounded. Not planted in that place that God has formed. We don't want to live that way. There's a lot of folks throughout the body of Christ that live that way. A lot of them are referred to over in Jude. They're referred to as wandering stars. Just wandering stars. You ever see a shooting star at night? You know, you got these stars that are there. You can set your compass to it. You can plot your course to it, right? Because those stars are consistent. They're there continuously. They're there every night. You know they're going to be there. Even when the clouds are covering them, you know they're still there, faithfully shining behind on the other side of those clouds. They have not departed from their position and from their place. And then there's shooting stars. And shooting stars are exciting. Oh, look, a shooting star. But they just, shoo, they just come and they just go. And nobody can plot their course to a shooting star. Can they? Can't say, now, go follow the North Star, and then you're going to come over here, and when you see this shooting star, chase after it, and that'll take you right to where you need to be. Happy even if you try to chase a shooting star, you're probably going to end up in a wreck. You're probably going to end up in a mess. Don't be chasing shooting stars. And don't be a shooting star. Be a person that is planted. Be a person that is faithful. Be a person that is right in the middle of the kingdom of God, in God's church, in God's house, doing what God has called you to do, growing in the grace of God, moving more and more towards the very heart, the very center of why he raised up his church in the earth to begin with. Why is it all here? Why am I a part of a local church? Why am I a part of this place? Find out. Press into it. Strive after it. Make it a priority. Put it first place. And there's a promise that if you do that, it's going to affect every area of your life. It's going to affect you in every... It's going to affect you positively in every area of your life. But neglect the house of God, neglect the church, neglect the kingdom of God. Don't strive after it, don't pursue it. Just visit it. Just kind of stand on the outskirts of it and be happy to just be on the outskirts of it and say, well, there's those folks in the center and they're the fanatics. But man, I've got a lot of other things going on in my life. And you just continue to stay content to be on the outside or around the perimeter of the kingdom of God. And it's going to affect you negatively in every area of your life. That's not something I'm pronouncing as a curse over anybody. It's just the word of God. It's what Jesus said. It's going to affect you in every area. Your relationship to the kingdom, your relationship to the church is going to affect every area of your life. If you want to see things get better for you in 2016, then seek the betterment of the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek to move to the very center of God's church that he has set you in. It's going to affect you in every area of your life. That's why a lot of folks can't prosper. A lot of folks can't get very far in life. They're just spinning their wheels in the mud of life. Stuck in the ditches of life, in the ruts, negative ruts. Just seems like the wheel's spinning. The harder they hit the gas pedal, the deeper they're digging the hole. The more they try to get out, the deeper they go into it. Stop it. Stop it. It's time to seek the kingdom of God. Take the kingdom seriously. These are the words of Jesus. Put his kingdom, put his church first place. I want to continue to expound on and prove to you that the kingdom and the church go together. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 3, he says, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers." So he's rebuking the church because believers in the church are taking other believers to court before the heathen, going before a heathen judge. Guy that's not even born again, doesn't even know the Lord. Going before him to get things straightened out between their brethren and themselves. And Paul's like, in the church, do you appoint those that are least among you to judge in matters pertaining to this life? Do you set people up in the church that are the least spiritual? No. So why would you go to the least spiritual, even the least of the least spiritual of this world, the unsaved, the lost, and go to them for judgment? But notice again, notice this whole context. You hear ruling, reigning, judging. Notice that. The saints will judge the world. We shall judge angels. Then it talks about judging in the church, judging the affairs of one another. Judging, when it's talking about judging, it's talking about governing, to rule, to preside over with power of giving judicial decisions. This is the prerogative of kings and rulers to be able to pass judgment. Again, you and I are kings, you and I are priests. And here again, he's talking about the church. Kingdom of God mean what? Dominion, rule, authority. And the church is the one that has God's rule, God's authority. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, say, I'm a ruler. I'm a governing authority. Yeah. But not many folks are ruling. I mean, God has offered us a throne, every single one of us. He's offered you a throne. He's given you himself. He's given you the name of Jesus. And he wants you to take your place of authority, and he wants you to rule in life. He wants you to reign. He wants you to govern. He wants you to judge. He says, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? The saints are going to judge the world. The church is going to judge the world. He's put us over all things. You know, a lot of times folks get all caught up in politics. Christians, they get all caught up in politics. Let the world get all caught up in politics. Now, that doesn't mean Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. The Bible says we're to be praying for those in authority. And, of course, there's people that God calls, Christians, that he calls into these positions of authority and to be involved in these things. But there's a lot of folks, that's just what they love talking about, and they fill themselves up so much with these things. Listening to the radio, looking at the TV. I mean, they get so full of these things. Oh, man, I can't believe we voted for this guy. I can't believe. You think we should vote for this guy, vote for that guy? And they're just all entangled and all caught up in all the political rhetoric that's going on. People just get all caught up in that. And they think, well, you know, I can't believe this. You know, that this person's even running for office, or, you know, and they talk about this one running for office, and if this person ever got elected, what would happen to America? And all this kind of talk, when the reality of it is that you and I hold the highest authority in this nation as the church. The church has the keys. The church decides how things are going to turn out in this nation. And the reason why things aren't going very well in this nation and in the political arena of this nation is because the church has laid their keys down. A lot of them don't even know they have any keys. And so many are not taking their place of authority to change things, because you and I can change everything. I love what he says over in Chronicles. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek first the kingdom of God and turn from their wicked ways, seek my righteousness, the right way of doing things, what's going to happen? He says, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. The land is in the condition it's in because of his people. He didn't say everybody. He didn't say all the citizens of the nation. He said, if my people that are in that nation, if he said, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven and things would change on the earth. So really, the condition of the nation is a reflection of the condition of the church. What kind of condition is the church in? That's why the nation's in the condition that it's in. It's sad but true. So we need to stop looking to the heathen and stop looking for this politician or this party or that party to rise up and fix things. And we need to start looking right here. Looking right here and say, if we would seek first the kingdom of God, if we would seek his face, if we would turn from our wicked ways, worldly ways, and if we would turn to his righteousness and live and walk in righteousness, this land would be healed. This land would be healed. So let's stop whining with the world about non-essential things and start focusing on the essentials, the kingdom. That's what's going to change things. I don't know how many people God's stirring up this morning to preach this message. He's stirring me up. I don't know how many other people in other churches he's stirring up to preach this message, but bless God, we're going to do our part. We're going to do our part, glory be to God, and I believe if we'll do our part well, then God will raise us up to a higher place to help affect all the other parts of the body of Christ, affect all the other believers, and create a rallying cry. Amen. A rallying cry, glory to God, to the church to come. Let's put him first. Let's have some revival in 2016. Amen. Let's rise up and seek him like never before. Get fired up about the church. Get fired up about the kingdom of God. And what's going to happen? It'll fire up other churches. It'll fire up other churches. Glory be to God. And they'll start coming and they'll start seeking first and putting him first. And what's going to happen? Man, prayers are going out. I'm not talking about whiny prayers. I'm talking about prayers of faith. People walking in their authority. Then we're going to see things change. Amen. Then we'll see some things change. But that's where all these other things will be changed. All these other things will be added unto us as we put the kingdom of God first. Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion. We can say it this way: far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Notice that. Jesus was raised up and given authority over all things. And the Bible says you and I are seated in him. We are his body. How many members of the body of Christ do we have here? Yeah, now you might feel like the hangnail of the body of Christ this morning. But thank God you're hanging in there. As long as you're a part of the body. Even the hangnail of the body, you are in the highest place. Glory be to God. You're above all rule, all authority, and all other dominion. Because you're right there seated with him. Seated with him in the heavenly places. So notice, again, the church here has this authority. The New English Translation says in verse 22, and God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church. Notice this, authority, the church. The authority we know is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the authority, the rule, the dominion of God. And notice, he gave this authority to the church. Now the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. New Living Translation says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. It's for our benefit. What affects the head affects the body. Right? What affects the head affects the body. If I smack you in the head, your whole body's going to react to it. Not that I would smack anybody here in the head, but you know what I'm talking about. And you say, oh, I got a headache, you know, and they don't know their authority over headaches. They're going to go take their whole body and lie down somewhere. Their whole body is going to become dysfunctional. Thank God you and I have dominion over headaches. Might as well just hit that while we're on it. Say, I got dominion over headaches. That's right. I got rule. Why? Because I got authority over this physical body. In the name of Jesus, I got authority over infirmity and sickness and all demonic oppression. Devil tries to put a headache on me, and I just say I don't get headaches. Take some deep breaths, and out you go. Don't put up with it. Some people pamper it. My head. I like to smack it. Because I'm letting the headache know I'm not intimidated by you. I'm not bowing down to you. I'm not succumbing to you. I'm not falling apart under you. You don't rule over me, headache. I rule over you. Hallelujah. His breath is in my lungs. Every cell of my body celebrates Jesus. Because every cell of my body serves Jesus. I'm not worried about the cells in my body. Now your blood cell count and your white cells and your red cells and your all these different cells, and you got to watch out for these cells. Well, thank God my cells are submitted to Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, my cells serve Jesus. Hallelujah. And so every cell of my body celebrates life. Death has no place in me. Death has no dominion over me. Glory be to God. Let's look at another. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy the 5th chapter. That brings it a little bit more on home, doesn't it? When we say, seek first the church. I think it brings it maybe home a little bit too much for some folks, you know. Because we like, many times folks like to spiritualize things. Seek first the kingdom of God. They're completely disconnected from the church. They're disconnected to all the authority in the church, the elders and the leadership. They're just completely disconnected from the church, but they walk around saying, I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they got some kind of really strange idea of what seeking the kingdom of God is. It's something spiritual. It's something non-physical. It's something that we can't really define. We really don't figure it out. And so, therefore, we can just be it in our imaginations. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, notice here in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So again, he's talking about the church, isn't he? He's talking about the church here. Notice that. Let the elders, elders in the church, rule. See, the church is God's rule, God's authority. And so if we're going to walk in God's rule and God's authority, then we've got to be under God's rule and authority. How can we operate in God's rule and authority if we ourselves are not submitted to his rule and authority? A lot of folks don't understand that. But to the degree we're going to rule and reign in life will be determined by the degree that we're submitted to God's rule and authority in life. And again, where is God's rule, God's authority? It's in the church. It's in the church. So what we want to do is we want to, again, move right into the very center, the very heart of God's kingdom. How can we do that? Move into the very center, into the very core of the church that he's called you into. And he calls every believer into a church. Every believer. First thing he'll do when the person gets born again, they can get born again anywhere, out on the street, in some kind of crusade, whatever it might be. But immediately, God's going to begin to point you to a church. He's going to immediately get you connected to a church. That's going to be the first thing you're going to recognize you need to do, that any new believer is going to recognize they need to do. Get into the very heart of God's church. Move in, advance. You don't want to just visit. You don't want to just be a spectator of God's house, God's church, God's kingdom, because we want to rule in life. I said we want to rule in life. We want to exercise dominion. We don't want to be dominated by the devil. We don't want to be dominated by anything except God. Seek first the kingdom of God. If we want everything else to get straightened out, if we want everything else to fall in line, seek first the kingdom of God. Move to the core. Move to the center. Hallelujah. I remember I had my own little ice cream cafe up in New York, and that's where I'd gotten born again, gotten saved. And I was, you know, going to church on Sunday and things, but I had to run out of there because the store was open on Sundays, you know. So I had to run out of there. I couldn't stand around and fellowship much with anybody. I had to get to work. And then one day I just made the decision. I made two decisions. I was standing in that little cafe in New York, and I made two decisions, two quality decisions that have affected my life, affect the destiny of my life. And I said two things. I said, number one, I said, Lord, I said, I'm not going to work another Sunday for the rest of my life. I'm not going to work another Sunday for the rest of my life. Now, back then, I had this little cafe, and you needed to be open on Sunday. And so I knew I'd have to close it on Sunday because if I had it open, had other employees working, I'm going to have to go check up on them. It's hard to find faithful employees. So I knew I had to close the business, even though it wasn't a really good business move from the natural standpoint. I was doing the kingdom of God first. I said, I got to close the business on Sunday. I said, I'm going to do that, and I'm never going to work another Sunday in my life. And that's been challenged. But praise God, I stayed with it. And then I said, I'm going to spend at least 1 hour a day with you. Every day for the rest of my life. Minimum 1 hour. I'm going to make sure I push everything away. I spend 1 hour every day with you for the rest of my life. And then I realized what I had just done. I made a commitment that was too big for me. This was over my head. So I knew I'd need his help. So I said, now, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this. I need you to remind me and help me and keep me committed to that decision. See, I didn't just get here and do what I'm doing right now just because, well, I'm one of the special ones. God just looked at me and said, he's just so wonderful and special. I'm just going to pick him and put him and do this and that. No, I was a heathen. And I had to get saved. And I made decisions to get saved. Then after I got saved, I had to make decisions with my local church back up there in New York that caused me to move into the very center of that church, get more involved in that church, to the point where then God called me out and sent me to Oklahoma, from New York to Oklahoma, to go to Bible school to study his word. And I made decisions, quality decisions, to be able to seek first and move in. And those decisions allowed God to move me to the next thing and to the next thing, and to the next thing, and to the next thing, and I'm ready to keep moving with God. But there's decisions you got to make. You can't just constantly be just dabbling in the things of God. You don't dabble with church. Don't dabble around the Word of God and just dabble. If all you do is dabble, you're not going to see God's best for your life. He'll do whatever he can to bless you, but he will be limited because of your unbelief, because of your unfaithfulness. So we need to move in. Seek first. Come on. Is anybody getting a New Year's resolution stirred up in them this morning? Let's stir that up. Say, man, seeking first the kingdom is seeking the church. The church, that's where God's rule, that's where God's authority is. So we say, it's in Jesus. Yeah, but he's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Church is his body. So the head and the body are one. They're connected. The church and Jesus are one. If you got Jesus, he's going to get you in the church. When you're in the church, pursue him. Go deep into the church. Become a part, become a vital organ of that church that God has placed you in. Let God bring forth a great supply of his Spirit through your life in this place to affect many lives. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord this morning for the truth.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.